You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, show rolls on here tonight. A moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. You call 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Now, you might have an accident that's car, boat, motorcycle, industrial. You might work in one of the refineries or at a plant, construction, or you might drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. Again, 713-322-HURT or DaspitLaw.com. All right, that brings us to our great guest. He writes for 442. He's also the color analyst for FC Dallas. He's written for everybody. He has been around Major League Soccer and the sport of soccer in the United States for many, many years. And he is a vet, and he's one of the great guests we have on this show consistently. He's Steve Davis. Steve, thanks for coming on, as always.
No, you're always welcome, Glenn. What's going on down there?
Well, we're getting ready for a big game against Sporting Kansas City, but I first want to get your thoughts on, you know, obviously we didn't think the U.S. answered the bell in the Costa Rica match and, quite frankly, may not have answered the bell for Honduras and got out of there with a fortunate Bobby Wood goal. But let's talk about the U.S. response here in this game recently against Panama. And I guess we finally know what who the fulcrum of this team is, if we didn't before.
I guess you're talking about
Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy. What did Alexi call him? Wonder Boy or Golden Boy or Golden Boy. Golden Child? Hey, I always think of Eddie Murphy.
He was on it, man. He was, you know, I know Josie Altidore got the official man of the match, and he played well, but it was Christian Pulisic who just shredded a very good Panamanian defense, you know, up to that point. You know, just in a bigger picture, though, I think that the United States team really showed us something there. Look, they weren't very good against Costa Rica, and then a few days later, they you know, as you said, they managed to kind of wiggle out of there with, you know, with a point, but after the game, somebody said Bruce Arena must have given him a heck of a pep talk pregame, and I said, well, you know, maybe, and I did hear that he delivered kind of a nice day before speech to the team, but I said maybe they just got tired of sitting around reading for 2 or 3 weeks how bad they were, that they might not go to the World Cup, and what are the repercussions of not going to the World Cup? Maybe they just got tired of sitting around and reading that stuff, and they found that chip on the shoulder that we know the United States. Always, historically, they just play better when they got that chip on their shoulder. When everybody's telling them the rest of the world is better at this game than you are, they're not good front runners. So you take them out of that position of everybody expecting it. You put them in a position where everybody's kind of half expecting you to fall on your face. That's the chip on your shoulder. That's what they needed, and they played a much better game, executed well. You know, several players rose to the moment. So. Back in a good place, but they still have a little bit of work to do, don't they?
Yeah, and I love that take by you, by the way. And look, nobody's ever going to admit that, oh, you know, what Alexi Lalas said or reading about it or seeing it on the boards or in the paper or, you know, and trust me, everybody looks at stuff, okay? They're entertainers. They all read stuff. They follow it. They're all out there in social media. So they feel it. And I think your take is right on. And I think that's a healthy thing. I think that's called healthy pressure. And that's why, you know, there was no need to react to Alexi Lalas's comments, really, unless he felt it was personal. I don't know, because I think in the end, this is what motivates people. And look, against Costa Rica, you said it, and Honduras, you know, they didn't look like they were there to compete, quite frankly. I mean, it looked like somebody put something in their drinking water, and then you have to go to the manager and say, why aren't these guys motivated? This was a complete turnaround. This was really healthy to see. It was a 180.
Yeah, and you know, you and I were talking just off the air a little bit about margins for error. You know, the margins here between these teams, they're small. And so if you go into the game against Costa Rica with a good enough game plan and you go out there and play good enough, it might not end up being good enough. You know, Costa Rica, these smaller countries, get into the World Cup, man. It's everything. It means so much. As Americans, we have this skewed opinion of what people, you know, what regard feels like around the world. You know, some of it may be bad, but good or bad, people talk about and think about the United States around the world every day. They don't talk about Honduras. And I'm talking about Panama. These World Cup opportunities are a chance for these teams to be positive, something positive in the spotlight, to be in the, you know, the world spotlight, and they know that. And for, you know, 1 month out of 4 years, they might be looking at Panama or Honduras, talking about them. Or today, you know, we see Monday, we see Serbia qualify. You know, Ireland gets a little closer. There's a tremendous pride there. So you go into that match against Costa Rica at 80 or 85% of what you could be or should be. That ain't good enough. So they find that extra little bit of motivation. You know the margins again are small between, you know, these teams. You close that gap. Now the talent takes over, because they talked about how preparation for this one, Friday night in Orlando, preparation was extra prep. Bruce Arena and the assistant coaches pulling people aside, you know, making sure they talked about this, talked about that, extra video review sessions, extra good practices. They talked about how there was no stone left unturned. Now you could ask, well, why wasn't that done against Costa Rica? Okay, and that's a fair question, but one way or the other, they did all the extra stuff. They found that extra little 10 or 15%, and that made all the difference.
Steve Davis, 442, joining us, also the color analyst for FC Dallas in Major League Soccer. Okay, there's an amazing photo out from Trinidad, and I'm sure you probably saw it, where there is just incredible water around the field in Trinidad, where the U.S. Went out to train today. Bruce Arena was quoted as saying, "Where's the drawbridge?" And guys had to venture through the water to get on the field. This in itself is CONCACAF. And to your point, having called World Cup qualifiers that involved the United States, when the United States, a sports team from the U.S., goes to Central America, this is an opportunity to slay the giant, the beast. And the entire country's on basically a holiday to support the singular game. So I just don't know if that permeates sometimes with the general sports fan in this country.
No, I, you know, and there's an ongoing education process. It's interesting, Glenn. I think you're absolutely right. And what happens is, because soccer in this country is where it's at, there are new fans added every single day. There are a lot of new fans added every single World Cup cycle. So you kind of have to re-educate people every time that CONCACAF, going on the road, going into San Pedro Sula, or, you know, or going down to Trinidad, going to, you know, to Costa Rica, these places are hard. It's just generally speaking, going on the road in Europe, you know, watching the game the other day, Belgium, a very good game, a great national team. You know, they go into Bosnia, and the field there was absolutely, positively worse than my little group gets to play on at pickup games on the weekend. It was a terrible field. So it's not just CONCACAF. Going on the road in World Cup qualifiers isn't easy. And you're right, there is this kind of ongoing process of re-educating the fans about that. The TNT, by the way, the TNT Federation pushed back a little bit and said, look, guys, A, it's tropical, the rainy season down here. I don't know what you expected. B, the water you saw was around a track that goes around the field. The field is going to be maybe not perfect, but okay. And I think they kind of didn't appreciate all the jokes and the moat jokes and, and all that stuff, or the drawbridge jokes.
Comes with the territory, you know, though, sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, it's, I don't think anybody meant it ill spirited. I just think it was part of the conditions, you know, and you know what? You have to deal with it. And that is the bottom line. So back to what you just said, Steve Davis, 442 joining us. World Cup qualifying seems more difficult to me now worldwide, globally, just like it is winning an MLS Cup now. I just think the degree of difficulty is more. There are more teams. There's more investment in the sport. Do you agree with that? World Cup qualifying now a lot more difficult?
I think so. And I can't speak as the ultimate authority on what's happening down in over in Europe, South America. My heavens, it's always just a brutal, you know, back alley fight with the tire irons. It's turned into it again. But I can't speak a little bit about CONCACAF. Look, I think Major League Soccer has played a big role. You know, you look at the teams from Panama and Honduras, and you know, and what they get out of now playing in Major League Soccer, where the quality keeps improving, whereas, you know, you might have seen a bigger percentage of, say, the Honduras team playing in the Honduran League. You know, now you've got some from that league. Of course, you've got a couple coming over from Europe, but you also got quite a few players playing in Major League Soccer, playing at a good level, and I think that has elevated all of CONCACAF. It's certainly helped the United States in some ways, but it's elevated all the other countries too. So yeah, you're absolutely right. It is tougher now. As the World Cup field expands, then you got to recalibrate all that. But right now, yeah, it's definitely tougher than it was, say, 8-12 years ago.
All right, what game? I mean, we all know that Lionel Messi could be exiting the World Cup with Argentina. That's one we. I would hate to see a World Cup without him and a bunch of other big stars. What's the game you watch tomorrow? I'm sure you're going to look at that one.
All of them, as many as I can. I haven't sat down with it and planned out, kind of sketched all out. But I'll do that. I know the South American qualifiers kick off 30 minutes before CONCACAF. So I'll get to watch 30 minutes of something. And you're right. I'm fascinated. On the one hand, I woke up without Argentina and Leo Messi would be less interesting. On the other hand, it'd be great if one of these other countries, get a chance to get to the World Cup and all those things I just talked about, and they get to experience that. So, I mean, it could be a World Cup without Cristiano Ronaldo or Leo Messi, and wouldn't that be
or something? Both?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it looks like it's going to be one without Gareth Bale, unfortunately. So. I envision you you're like Elvis Presley. You got about seven monitors, in that special audio room that you have, the high dollar leather chairs. Am I right on here?
No, not exactly. It's funny because I'm done
close,
it before,
though.
And I do that sometimes, a little bit. I'll put up a computer screen. But what I figured out this a long time ago, if you're watching two games, you're really not watching any. And certainly if you're watching three games, you're not watching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't really watch either of them. You're waiting to see what the goal highlights or whatever. But you're not really watching that game. So you pick one and you do your best.
Yeah, that's why I have a hard time watching it in pubs and bars. Unless it's to go for social first and the game second, it's tough because, you're talking or you're looking away and then you hear goal and you walk out of there and you're like, geez, I don't really know what the whole denouement of this game really was.
Now you got to go home, hit the DVR, and actually watch it again.
And watch it again, exactly, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Steve Davis joining here, 442. Let's talk about Major League Soccer. And since you're so in tune to FC Dallas, and everybody here in Houston is sort of in tune to FC Dallas and Real Salt Lake right now and San Jose based on the playoffs, what's going on with FC Dallas? I think it's one of the shocking stories of the year in the league, isn't it?
It's surprising. It really is. But again, we'll talk about small margins here. And I think I really tried to tell everybody last year and, over the last couple of years that I'm not sure everybody quite figured out still what they had in Oscar Pereja. I really think that over the last couple of years, 60-point seasons back-to-back, no club in Major League Soccer history has done that. And I think it made the roster look better than it was. I always said that I think FC Dallas' roster, it's a good roster. I think it's a great roster. I think it's full of good players, plus Mauro Diaz and maybe Matt Hedges. Other than that, and Kellen Acosta now, he's developed into a very good player. But, even then, Mauro Diaz has hurt a lot. Matt Hedges dropped his level a little bit. So the point was that I think Oscar, over the last 2 years, just squeezed and squeezed and squeezed and got every drop out of that team through management, through systems of play on the field, through giving people roles and not asking them to do things that they couldn't do, right? And this year, I think a couple of players dropped their level. I think Matt Hedges, Hedges and Kellen Acosta, they weren't quite at the level where they could go to the national team and then still balance it all, balance club, country, family responsibilities. It's a lot. Oscar talked about that. He said it's part of the process. You have to learn how to do that. They haven't learned how to do that yet. Maxi Rudy cooled off a little bit. Mauro Diaz came back from the injury, but never quite regained the same level. So you go on and on, through Walker Zimmerman got hurt, dropped his level when he came back a little bit. You go on through that and you're at the margins they were operating. They were winning last year, but they never looked dominant. They were just a good team that knew how to win. You drop your level just a little bit and they just didn't have the talent to overcome it. They didn't have David Villa to sit there, and do something spectacular in the 78th minute and turn 1 point into three, I guess, is the best way to say it.
What's happened to Mauro Diaz this year?
Everybody says that the Achilles injury, it takes a year to recover from that, at least. Maybe a year plus, year 2 months, 3 months or something. So he comes back at about, 8 months when he got back on the field, 8 months when he got back on the training field, 9 months when he got back on the field, and he was in moments, he was pretty good. He could see the passes, but I just remember the first game back, you saw that he could see the passes, and a couple of them didn't have the zip. A couple of his dead balls didn't quite have the precision. His dead balls all year, his restarts, haven't had the precision. So he's a good player. He's a good Major League Soccer creator. He's not great like he was last year. I just think he hasn't fully recovered from that injury. We're just now, in fact, I'd have to look up the date. It's right around now that he got hurt last year, maybe not even a year out. Just that Achilles injury, man, it's a booger. It's hard to recover from that. I think he'll be fine. But he was always a little injury prone. They always had to put him on his own little microcycles to keep his strength up. And he's 75-80% of the player he was last year. And again, small margins.
Steve, as always, great stuff tonight. We appreciate it. Enjoy all the games tomorrow. We look forward to having you on again. And thank you, as always, for being so generous with your time and coming on. And just remind us where we get all your writings over at 442.
442 on the writing. Our podcast is Soccer Today. And you can catch me on some of the FC Dallas broadcasts, MLS Live, or however you want to see those.
Yeah, I forgot to mention your podcast. You guys do a good job. I enjoy it.
Well, man, you guys enjoy all those games tomorrow, too. I cannot wait. It's going to be intense. The trauma is unbelievable. I enjoyed it today. I'm going to enjoy it more tomorrow.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for coming on. That's Steve Davis, 442, and one of the all-time greats, really, when it comes to covering the sport in this country. It was there at the beginning, and during the beginning of Major League Soccer up in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. That's when I first got to meet Steve. All right, when we take a break here, a couple of things first. Soccer fans, the real soccer pub in Edo is the King's Court, right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs at King's Court. They show Premier League matches, Dynamo matches, La Liga, Champions League, and NFL Sunday Ticket. King's Court has 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. Get over to King's Court. I hang out after Dynamo matches there. Visit the rooftop, deck, and patio. KingsCourtTX.com. More to come.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we roll on with what is a huge game for the Houston Dynamo on Wednesday. Sporting Kansas City coming to town here to BBVA Compass Stadium. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Then the Dynamo will switch it around. They will head out to Kansas City. So basically, it's a home and home here down the stretch. Only three games to go. Then the Dynamo will finish it up at home against the Chicago Fire and Bastian Schweinsteiger. Quick word here right now for the King's Court. That's the real soccer pub in Edo, King's Court, right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins, corner of Walker and Hutchins. 13 TVs there. El Bateon, the Dynamo supporters group, goes there before and after games. 24 taps, a full bar. It's KingsCourtTX.com. Go down there and say hello to Jay. And they bring us now Dynamo goalkeeper Tyler Derrick. Tyler, thank you very much for coming on, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's ahead of us in Sporting Kansas City. Obviously a differing team without Dom Dwyer, but both Sporting and the Dynamo, you know, got real issues here with players away on international duty. So I'm thinking this is a game where the depth has got to prove things out.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've had these instances throughout the year with, Albert, Rommel, Adolfo, Boniak, you know, going away with their respective national teams, bees being out the U.S. And I thought we had guys that stepped in. Andrew Wanger stepped in, Memo stepped in, you know. We added Tomas Martinez, so we got a lot of players who are ready to play.
Now, we don't all get to see Tomas Martinez because your training sessions are usually closed, but tell us a little bit about him and what a great skill set he has and some of the things you see out of him in training sessions.
You know, his movement off the ball is extremely well. He always finds that those pockets of space to be an outlet for us to go forward, and it's really important for us to get that transition and get it in quickly. You know, him and Alex Lima do that extremely well. But with Tomas, he takes those passes, and, he's a great dribbler. He has great vision on the field, and he's very good at waiting a pass and distribution. So, you know, it's exciting to watch. And he's still a really young guy. I think he's 21, 22 years old. And, you know, he's just coming to the league, and he's adapting really well. Everybody in the locker room has accepted him. You know, him and Philippe have joined the team at the same time. And, you know, they have a great friendship from just meeting each other. And, you know, like I said, he's come in the locker room. He's worked hard, and he's a great guy to get along with.
And, you know, you point out a great thing because he is so young, yet he carries himself with maturity beyond his years. Obviously, growing up in Argentina, going through the whole youth system down there, and obviously playing with giants like River Plate, he just seems to carry himself with a maturity beyond his years.
Yeah, you know, playing in big derbies and River Plate, there's a lot of pressure on those games, and it's a lot similar to what we're going through right now with these final three games of the regular season, you know, and trying to establish ourselves in the playoffs. So, you know, he's been in pressure situations, and a lot of players on this team have been in important games and big games. You know, Adolfo's at Panama right now, and we have a lot of players. Philippe's been playing in the Premier League for a long time. So there are players who are available who played in big games.
Tyler, you've been in big games. You've handled the pressure as well. You know, how do you handle it now? Because it is down to a couple of games now. No matter what's happened prior, it's down to a couple of games. You know, how do you manage that? Because you can't be totally engulfed by it. You have to still go on your normal day so that when it's game time and you've got to provide the performance, that you're in a great place and you're feeling very comfortable.
Yeah, it's really important for everybody just to focus in on their day-to-day and what they can do on each training session so we can get prepared for our team for Kansas City this week. And, you know, I think the coaches have done a really good job in getting a plan put together. And this week, you know, we just have to focus on our day-to-day. And you can't think about the next games coming up because right now it's just Kansas City. And it's a huge game. And it's really important for all of us to stay focused these next couple of days leading up to Kansas City so we can be prepared mentally and know we've been through everything that the coaches think we're going to see. And, you know, be prepared for any scenario that happens in the game, and especially what Kansas City likes to do. We have to be prepared for what they like to do specifically.
What type of team do you see them as now, and how much have they changed without Dom Dwyer here now being moved on to Orlando City?
You know, I think the two outside wingers have really stepped up, you know, with Dom leaving to Orlando. It was they have attacking players who are really talented, and for us, we just have to stay organized and make sure that communication from our back four to our midfield is sharp because their movements are quick. They like to play one and two touch around the box, and they're very talented players. But I think if we just stay focused and tuned in and concentrated on their movements, you know, I think it could be a really good day for us.
I think are you referring to Saloy and Gerso? Are those the two guys you mean?
Yeah. Gerso and Latif Blessing.
Yeah, Latif. Correct. Yeah. Dangerous players, obviously mobile, but you guys, you know, it took a little time to get the balance right, but you guys have had a very good defensive year, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, with the additions that we've made to our back line, you know, with Adolfo and Leo and AJ, you know, Bees was here for a couple years, and with the addition of Leo and Adolfo and AJ, they have a lot of experience under their belts. You know, Leo has been at LA for a long time, as well as AJ. And Adolfo was captain of Saprissa in Costa Rica when they won a championship. So there's a lot of experience on that back line and a lot of leadership. And I think when the guys, they know how to work really well together.
Now, that being said, you know, Adolfo's got a game on Tuesday. We don't know what's going on there with him. I mean, obviously, he's going to be flying back. We can't think he's probably going to play. That's just my opinion. But how difficult is it when people go in and out? And if a Philippe Senderos, for instance, gets a start in this one, how comfortable are you with him? Because you've only had one game. Obviously, you're doing a lot in training with him.
Yeah, with Philippe individually, he's a veteran player, and he's played at big clubs at Fulham, Arsenal. He was at Celtic. You know, he's been at some big clubs, so his transition into the team is pretty seamless. And as well as Dylan Remick, you know, I thought with Bees being out with the U.S. a couple times this year, Dylan has really stepped up and filled in seamlessly. He has a great head on his shoulders. He's focused when he plays, and he brings a great determination to win the game. And with the players that are sliding in and out, you know, everybody has a great attitude, so it's really easy to get along and find a rhythm with the guy playing next to you, because you know what you're going to get out of that person.
I got to think you've enjoyed playing with this back four this year, and guys like Dylan coming in and not missing a beat. Dylan's had a very good year, as you mentioned. But I got to think you've enjoyed it. Is there a newfound stability there, even though you're a team that certainly is considered an attack-oriented team?
Oh, for sure. You know, I have enjoyed playing with this back four. You know, it's great to watch whenever we have player the attacking team coming at us, and I know I have Leonardo and I have Marcus Beasley and AJ De La Garza and Adolfo Machado and whoever steps in, Dylan Remick. You know, it's great to see. I know these guys are going to put everything they got into, you know, blocking a cross, blocking a shot, or shielding a defender for me to come get the ball. And it's good to have a lot of games under my belt with these guys. And, you know, I think there's still a lot to improve on as well. And that's what makes a day-to-day great, is that we come in, we know that our weekend game wasn't perfect. So we come in and, you know, everybody's determined to make it better. And it's really enjoyable, just the day-to-day of us all trying to get better as a collective unit.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful insight right there. As a goalkeeper, Tyler, have you had to change at all just because this team does commit a lot more into the attack than in the past years? You know, is it different for you? I mean, I always marvel at how athletic you are and how quickly you get off your line. Is that something you've had to get into – put into action a little bit more now with this type of a team? You know, how is your position and your singular game, how has it changed based on the way this team plays now? Because it is a very different way it plays now than in the past years.
Yeah, you know, I was obviously, I'm from Houston. I live in Houston. So I was in the locker room all off season pretty much. And whenever Wilmer was coming in and getting integrated with everybody in the locker room, you know, We had a quick conversation one of the first days he was in Houston, and it was just, he explained about how he wants a goalkeeper to be aggressive off his line to cover the back four for those like quick through balls that are coming in, and so that was a little bit of I had to adapt to that a little bit, but you know that's what the manager wants, and I feel comfortable and capable of being in those positions for him. And also he gave me the freedom to play a little bit more with my feet. And since we do have such an attacking team, just to, you know, have that freedom to, if there's a 2-on-1 or if there's a 1-on-1, just go ahead and let Albert Elise or Ramel Kyoto just go for it, because they're very talented players.
Yeah. We've seen you do that this year. Stick a long ball to one of those guys and it leads to a great attack. I got to think that's kind of fun, too, because, you know, you're the initiator of the attack when the ball's in your hands or at your feet.
Yeah, you know, I've always enjoyed taking a good ball. It feels good when you hit a good one out there and have a teammate run onto it.
Yeah, it's outstanding. What else about Sporting Kansas City that jumps out to you? Because they've got their own challenges. Timelia is now injured. He's not available this weekend as a goalkeeper. I'm sure you can feel for him. They don't have Dwyer anymore, and they do have a little bit of a different mix here.
Yeah, you know, it was a bummer seeing Tim go down with injury, because he has had a fantastic year. I thought he's been the best goalkeeper in MLS this season. And, you know, I feel for the guy, because you never want to see a keeper go down like that. And, you know, hoping he has a speedy recovery. But, you know, I think you have to pay attention to the midfield of Sporting Kansas City with Roger Espinoza, you know, Ilya in there and Madronda. You know, I think those players give the stability for Kansas City to really attack. So, and they also like to join in the attack. And obviously Roger Espinoza has been in the league for a long time. And I think it's going to be key for us to watch their midfield as well.
Well, Tyler, listen. Great stuff. Thank you for coming on. Great insight into some of the new Dynamo players. We appreciate it very much. Wishing you the best of luck against Sporting Kansas City this Wednesday.
Hey, Glenn, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, and we'll keep you to that off-season thing. Will you bring in one night, and we'll talk all the goalkeepers around the world, and you know, we'll go outside of MLS. We'll talk some of the other leagues. How about that?
Hey, looking forward to it.
All right, likewise. Looking forward to having you up here. Thank you, Tyler. That's Tyler Derrick, Houston Dynamo in action. Again, remind you, HoustonDynamo.com. It is this Wednesday night, and it's a huge one. It is a big game. Hey, if you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel, then the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Soccer fans, head over to the Gorgeous Gale. It's on 5555 Morningside Drive. Go in there, stop in for a pint and a bite. They got great whiskey offerings. Good friend Peter's over there. He's got to be very happy as, Ireland beat Wales today, 1-0 in World Cup qualifying. Open field, lots of monitors, outdoor patio, the Gorgeous Gale, the place to be. It is also the home of the Liverpool supporters group here in Houston. TheGorgeousGale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. And let me tell you about Azure Salon. Now, it's right in the heart of River Oaks. In all that high-end West Ave shopping, you know what I'm talking about. The stylists at Azure, they keep me looking sharp for all my TV work, and as I've mentioned on the show before, that is not an easy thing to do. I need all the help I can get. So my thanks to Azure Salon. It's the place to go. Guys, get into Azure Salon. Ladies, they've got you covered with color, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. And we will take a break. More to come here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a Bud Light break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Look, a quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light has been a great supporter of mine on the radio here for many, many years. I mean, this goes way back when there really wasn't any soccer talk on the radio. Bud Light reminds you, it's most importantly about your friends. Get a bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. With that, Bud Light brings us from Sporting Kansas City, their manager, former U.S. International, Major League Soccer All-Star, Peter Vermes. Peter, as always, thank you for coming on this program.
Glenn, my pleasure, pal.
You know, I look around the league, and as a person in the media, you handle the media wonderfully. You obviously get the importance of it, despite the fact that your team is incredibly popular in Kansas City.
Well, look, I think you and I both come from an era that I think we were begging for some media to cover the game as we were coming out. And I think, you know, we had to be incredible ambassadors of the sport. At the same time, we had to beg, borrow, and steal to get, you know, some recognition for the sport. And so anything that comes our way these days, especially for myself, I have a great appreciation for it. And I completely understand how important it is to the overall success of the league and the sport moving forward. And so it's incredibly important for all of us to be very open and more importantly, accessible when the opportunities do present themselves, because it's an important part of our sport, and for the growth of it, it's paramount.
Just take us into the coverage in Kansas City that you guys get locally. You know, where are you guys gauging out in mainstream media?
Well, I think what our PR department has done a fantastic job in the area of social media. What they've done is They've kind of created our own little class, if you will, of fan support. At the same time, I think they've made a lot of our players extremely relevant in the sports scene. And then the other side of it is, I also think that we've been a little bit different in our marketplace, probably than most soccer markets. And that is, instead of us going after the youth market, which we believed was already there, it was more of our objective to go after the, you know, the 18 to 54, if you will, age group. And because we felt that they were going to be long-time or long-term fans of our team. And let's face it, they're the ones that, you know, decide to buy the tickets or not. So it was an important area for us to go after, and we thought that the easiest way to get to them in the beginning was social media. And at the same time, I think we've been really innovative in other areas as well, with a lot of different video things that we do, and you know, different Snapchats, and just different things that we do as a as an organization. I think have been very innovative, and I have to give a lot of credit to our PR department and Rob Thompson, who's headed that up. And he was actually here when I was here as a player, and then left, and then came back. So they've done a fantastic job, and I think they've hit all the right buttons along the way.
Yeah, I think Rob is a Hall of Fame media guy, and of course, Jonathan Kaplan helped set this interview up. So I appreciate that. But, you know, there was no putting me off. It was, you know, let me check. Boom. Peter's ready. You know, you just got to kind of love that. It's excellent. How about the Kansas City Star? They give you pretty good coverage too, right?
They do. They have a main beat writer that, you know, is with us, connected to us every day, which, you know, that kind of took a big change or a big step once we became Sporting Kansas City. And they saw that the environment had changed at our stadium. The environment had changed with the sellout crowds and everything. And so they've done a very good job. And what I like about them too is that they're not homers, but they're not out to get us. Mm-hmm. I think they're very fair in the way that they report, which in the end is what you ask for. And so they've been. You know, they also have to ask the tough questions, and I get that, and that's part of the business that we're in. But they're very fair about how they do their work. So they've been a really good good outlet for us to get our message out there, and also be critical of at times when probably they should be.
Is transparency important for clubs and organizations now in your mind?
For ours,
yes,
it's something that we pride ourselves on. You know, there's a lot of tough questions that come in this business, and I think you have a couple different ways that you could answer them. You could BS the audience, you could not answer the question, or you could get right to it and tell them what were the reasons why you came to your decision. You know, a perfect example is, you know, we made a big decision, I think, this year in moving Dom Dwyer on. And, you know, obviously with any team, when you're talking about players that have been very good for the organization in many different ways, it's never going to be an easy thing for the fans to accept, because, you know, they always think that players are going to stay forever, which obviously is not the case. And at some point, decisions have to be made. But one of the things that we've always prided ourselves on is that we're always going to make decisions that are the best for the club. Obviously, we always think about the fans. We'll think about what ownership wants. We'll think about even what our staff is thinking. But at the end, it has to be centered and based around what is best for the team, short and long term. And I think when you make those decisions, I think more times than not, you'll be right. And if you continue to keep your decision-making process based on a set of ideas and also a philosophy that you have, and that's the foundation you work from, I think you're going to, majority of the time, you're going to be right.
Peter Vermes, Sporting Kansas City manager, joining us. They win another Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Your job now, Peter, it's very unlike maybe back in the early days. I mean, you're involved in the youth setup, player decisions. This is a 24/7 job. I mean, how do you handle that, number one, when it comes to just time? And then number two, how do you make sure it just because it doesn't become overwhelming? What do you do to potentially get a break and relieve some of the stress?
It's a good question. To answer the first part is that if there's one thing that I think if there's one quality I'd say that's a strong asset of mine, is that I am very good at hiring great people, and we have a great staff here, and it's also a consistent one. And I think the reason for And again, consistency, it usually comes down to a couple things. It comes down to good people and making sure that they stay around for a long time. And we've been very fortunate to have a great staff, and those people have stayed. They believe in the project in which we're doing. And so being able to have all those people involved helps immensely without, you know, with me being able to allow people to kind of do their thing and do it right. But I also, at the same time, keep myself heavily involved. I call us, you know, I always say we have three properties. We have our academy, we have our USL team, the Soil Park Rangers, and then we have our senior team, which is Sporting Kansas City. And my goal is to keep a close watch on those three properties. And I do that a couple of ways. One is I make sure that I'm constant communication with the people that are overseeing those areas. At the same time, I meet with, you know, the powers that be at each of those properties. And then I also visit on my own. You know, I go out and see academy trainings, watch games. I see the USL team, the Soil Park Rangers, play, whether it's live or watch them on the internet. And then I also make sure that everybody knows on the technical side that the staff is completely integrated and it's not just separated because they're, you know, a different name, that we're all together and we need to work together. And I think that's a really important aspect in any organization. And then the last piece is that I'm one of those people that, you know, I always hear this thing, especially with younger kids, people talk about burnout and how they can get burned out of a sport and things like that. You know, growing up, I played baseball for about half a season, and I played soccer the rest of the time all year long. And so never played any other sports, you know, just played soccer, and I never got burned out. And I always credit that to the fact that it was my love, it's my passion, it's what I love to do. And, you know, I don't, it's hard to become sick of something if you're passionate about it, if you love it. And then, you know, the final thing is that my wife and I, we went to high school together, so very fortunate to have, you know, the way that she supports what I do. And when you have that, it kind of makes things a lot easier.
Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermees joining us here on ESPN 97.5. You know, I didn't intend to get off into this direction, but I'm finding this to be a very, very interesting interview. Back to the point of your passion growing up and playing the game, how important is it and how difficult is it to find people within the roles of your club to hire people that are intellectually curious about the sport of soccer? And how important is that? Because, you know, the passion, the knowledge of the game, those things can go a long way for people when buying into, as you mentioned, a project.
So let me answer that first from a player point of view, right? So mm-hmm. When we're searching for players that's going to fit our team, and, you know, the big thing is obviously fitting our model of play, number one. And then number two is that can they fit into the culture? So let me hit the first piece. And I'll use an example, somebody. When I think it was end of the 2012 season, I really felt that we had a need for the team, and that was we needed someone in the middle of midfield that can unlock defenses. And I had been interested in Benny when he first came back to the league, but, you know, he first went to Chivas traded him, and he went to New England. So New England had him, and things weren't going well for him there. And I had Benny when I was Ziggy Schmidt's assistant for the U-20 World Championship team that was in 2005. And so I had been with Benny for probably like 2 years prior to that with the U-20s, and we were training all the time. And there's something that always stuck, you know, always stuck with me regarding Benny, and that was he loved the game, had incredible passion for it, and knew everything about players and teams around the world. And I loved that about him. And I thought, and I knew him as a player. And you know, it was one thing to go search for the guy that was going to unlock defenses, but it was the other thing to know that if there's one thing that connected with me was the fact that he was passionate about the game and he loved it. And those qualities are important for me to search for when I'm looking for players, and that's one of the reasons why I picked him. On the staff side, it's something a little bit different, and it goes a little bit hand-in-hand when we're searching for players too, but it's a big thing on the staff side, and that is, you know, it's a big buzzword today everybody uses, but to me it's an incredibly important piece of any successful organization, and that is culture. And so when we're trying to find people, the biggest thing that always comes, you know, it just pops out at me, is that whether or not the person will fit into our organization culturally. And, you know, we have four core values that I put together years ago that make up someone who can fit into our culture. The first is, and obviously this can be players or staff, but the first is you have to be a team first individual, right? The team always has to be first with you. It's not about the individuals in our team. It's not about any individual staff member. It's always the team's first, number one. Number two is you have to have an incredible work ethic. Number three is you have to be intelligent, and it's intelligent based on what you do for the organization, right? Like I don't need players to wake up in the next morning and perform brain surgery. I need them to be able to take in the information that we have about the opponent, what we need them to do in their role and the responsibility for the game, and they need to be able to implement it into the game. And then the final piece is a winning mentality, and that's got a very specific definition when it comes to us, and that is, it's simple. It's you have to be able to pursue excellence every day in everything that you do. And so for myself, when I'm searching for somebody, especially on the staff, I'm looking for someone that has a hunger for those things. And if they do, it's actually pretty easy for them to fit into who we are and what we do. And that commitment has to be there every day. And they have to be people that also want to defend and protect, our culture. And so those things are important. I think it's important for any high performance organization, is that you have people that on a daily basis are vigilant in protecting, defending that culture.
Well, I think any big club has to have, or corporation, and I'm not a genius here when it comes to this, but has to have an inspirational leader. I see that. Obviously, you're that inspirational leader out in front of this club. That bears a big responsibility, and you handle it wonderfully. Let me switch gears here now to just one or two questions. First off, how has it been absorbing, you know, a great striker like Dom Dwyer being moved on to Orlando City? How has that worked out for you so far?
Well, it's hard to replace good players. It is. And Dom was a very good player for us. At the same time, as you know how this business is, there's limitations in certain areas sometimes, and one of them, especially in a sport that has a salary cap, you know, that can be a limitation. We tried to work things out with Dom. It didn't work. It definitely was trending in the way that it would not come to the right, or the finality that we all wanted. And so it made sense to make a move. I never would have made a move if I did not believe that we had a player or players in place that could absorb the load. And I actually think they've done an excellent job at that. It also helps that we have a very strong team. And, you know, if you recall back to what I said about, you know, our first core value in our culture is the team is always first. Well, I've never built any team that we've put together here on any one individual. And so I felt very confident in that if we made the move, we had enough on our roster where that was going to be able to absorb, as I said, the load, and more importantly, at times, hopefully be able to excel. And I think in certain cases that's happened, and I'm pleased with what we've done and had so far, but we still have so much more to be able to accomplish, and not just, I don't mean in results, but we also can be a lot better in certain areas of our game, which is something that we work on, you know, every day.
Is that something, can I ask you what those are, or is that Is that,
yeah,
you know,
I think when you look at us over the course of this season, you know, look, we've been very competitive. You mentioned the U.S. Open Cup, which is never an easy tournament to win. It comes always at a time when it's a, you know, things are really heating up, and so you got to really be, I think, intelligent as a staff on how you're going to manage your players through that, you know, with still maintaining a thirst and a hunger for the regular season. But my a couple things. I think one is that I think that we can be more clinical in our finishing. When you look at we have 12 ties. I would say that there's a minimum of 8 of those that easily we should have won those games. That's 16 points that were missed. There's a couple games that we've lost 1-0 here or there. That those are games that we should have won. But again, it comes down to the final goal or just, you know, the number of chances that we created in those games we needed to finish off. And it's something that we need to be better at. The good thing is, and I think you would agree with me on this, is that the times when you worry in situations like that is when you're not creating the chances. That's when it becomes a concern, when you don't even have the ability to create the chances. But when you're creating them, you at least know that you're doing something right now. The question is that what do you need at the end to finish those off? And at times we've been really good at it, and then other times it hasn't been there, and that consistency is something that we've lacked.
Well, Peter, listen, this has been a wonderful interview. Thank you. I went over my allotted time here, but you're always so generous with your time. I appreciate that. Safe flight down here to Houston. Best of luck the rest of the season. And again, as always, I appreciate how prompt you come on this radio show and speak so candidly.
Yeah, my pleasure, and it's always great talking to you, Glenn. Really appreciate it.
You too, Peter. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. All right, that's Peter Vermees. Great interview there. And, you know, sometimes you go into an interview thinking you're going to go in one direction, and it ends up being another. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends in Bud Light. Most importantly, grab your friends. Get an ice-cold bucket of Bud Light, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. By the way, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City on Wednesday. For producer Tyler Scott, Peter Vermees, Steve Davis, Eddie Robinson, DJ Sun, Matt Peterson, and all involved, Victor Ariza, we thank you tonight for tuning into the show. PodcastArena.com, iTunes for the podcast.
ESPN 97.5.